You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
All right, so we end up talking with Mark Messi, and you know, we asked him about what's facing Aaron Rodgers, and he said it's a lot of pressure in New York. But did it jump out to you guys that he reacted so aggressively in saying that he would never ask them to acquire anybody? He said there has to be a separation, you know, between being the captain, and Rodgers isn't going to come in as the captain. I'm sure he will be for game days. Football's weird like that. But Messier didn't mess with that. He said he never told Keenan and never told Smith to bring any of those Oilers there. So you think that he doesn't think it's cool that Rodgers is doing it?
No, I just think that he feels that there's a separation between player and general manager, at least in hockey, all right, because you only play your 20 minutes. As important as Mark Messier was to the Rangers, is he the quarterback of a football team? I think there's a difference between Aaron Rodgers asking for get me some players that I can feel comfortable with and Mark Messier not wanting to make it seem like he's making any kind of demands. But he did admit how comfortable it was to have these Oilers already on the team in Buka, Boom, and Graves, and then going out and getting Lowe and getting Anderson and getting McTavish. So he talked about how important and how comfortable it was for him to have those guys come in. He just didn't feel comfortable, or at least owning that he had anything to do with it. But to me, it doesn't matter. The fact is that he admitted that how important it was to have. So that, to me, defends what Rodgers is doing. He feels comfortable asking the Jets. How do we know the Jets didn't ask him? Hey, who would you like us to go get for you? Isn't that possible?
It's also, Don, you were saying this. I'll say it a little bit more bluntly. It really is apples to wrenches. Just the way football players, particularly quarterbacks, operate within an organization versus hockey players. Hockey players are just very rarely that type. That's
true.
That's kind of the breed of person they are.
And also, it wasn't like Michael Rodgers was going and asking to go, you know, go get Aaron Donald. He was asking for players that he played with that is going to bring out the best in him. You know, he's not playing general manager. You know, Mark Messier is going to go get this guy, get that guy.
He is with Beckham. Never played with Beckham.
He never played with Beckham, but he knows Beckham knows the system.
Right.
But these are guys that he is going to be directly involved with. These are receivers he's going to be throwing the football to, right? So he kind of has an expertise in that, right? I mean, if I was a general manager, let's say Aaron Rodgers didn't say boo, and I'm Joe Douglas, and I've got a chance to get Odell Beckham Jr., wouldn't I call Aaron Rodgers and say, would you be interested in throwing the ball to him? You think you guys would work? You think you guys would have chemistry? Like, so I think that just makes perfect sense where, like, to Peter's point, yeah, hockey players, they're usually introverted. They're not making demands. They're not swinging it around. And it's not – and even Mark Messier would like to play with McTavish, but is he as directly involved with playing with those guys the way Aaron Rodgers would be playing with receivers he'd be throwing the football to?
And one other thing that we should note, Messier came to the Rangers, and then he was on the Rangers. So if he asked for – some players once he was on the Rangers, then as he mentioned, he'd be costing his teammates jobs. Rodgers doesn't know anybody. Rodgers coming in cold, and I think more or less I think he's doing it for comfort. And I think there's also a method to his madness. He does not want to be the wide receiver and tight ends coach. He wants Randall Cobb and Mercedes Lewis and Alan Lazard to tell the young players what they have to do, what way Rodgers likes to play, where he throws the ball, when he goes back shoulder, stuff like that. This is stuff that they can handle, so he doesn't have to.
Well, that's a way of looking at it, but could it also be a way of looking at it? I want to throw to guys I'm comfortable with. I don't want to spend a lot of time in camp getting acclimated to a bunch of guys I'm not familiar with. I want to throw to people I'm comfortable with. I'm sure Wilson's too good of a player not to be involved, but it's going to take time to build chemistry with all those jet wide receivers. Does he want to put in that time, or does he want to just have the comfortability of saying, all right, well, now I've already got my instant chemistry. I already got these guys. They already know where to go. But I hope it's not that.
The wide receivers he's asking for, though, right?
Yeah.
He's got better talent on the Jets. I'm sorry, Garrett Wilson's better than any. He's better than Lazard. He's better than Cobb at this point. And also, they just restructured Ozama's contract, too. They might have too many tight ends if they bring in Mercedes Lewis. So somebody might have to go. But in terms of the wide receivers, even Odell, nobody as good as Garrett Wilson.
No, and they've got to replace, Davis. And we'll see what happens with Elijah Moore. I want to see him play with Rodgers. But, Michael, it becomes a numbers game. I mean, how many wide receivers are you going to have?
They'll let go of Corey Davis.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, he would be gone. Listen, there's room for all of these receivers, but is there room for them all to get the ball? Like I said earlier in the show, Michael, Moore was complaining about not getting the ball, and they were winning.
Right.
So is he going to complain if he's on a winning team and Rodgers, and he's like, I'm not getting the ball?
He already requested a trade again, so we may not have that problem.
So I just think the whole reason you're bringing Rodgers in, at least in my opinion, Michael may disagree a bit, is I believe this is a championship-caliber team that's missing a quarterback. And I don't want to dismantle this championship team to make room for Rodgers and his cronies. And hopefully they can make all this work salary cap-wise. That's why when we talk to Mike Tannenbaum, he'll be able to tell us the ins and outs of who might have to stay and who have to go. I just don't want to make too many sacrifices to what I think is a very, very good roster, especially on the defensive side of the ball, which maybe you might have to release guys just because of Rodgers coming in by himself.
Let's go to the phone, see what you're thinking. 1-800-919-3776. Sam in Ellenburg. Sam.
Yeah, guys. Hey. I want to talk a little bit about my friend Aaron.
Okay.
I know I heard your callers the other day complaining a little bit about him coming and with all the drama, but he got one of the best quarterbacks in the league that's going to be coming to the Jets, and they haven't had that kind of talent probably ever, I would consider. And he's trying to put together a team that he's comfortable with, a few guys that he's actually played with, and coaches that he knows. And he's all in. That's why he's putting all this together. He's considered retirement, and here's an opportunity for him to go out, come to New York, entertain all those folks that were complaining about his novelness, like you guys mentioned. And those are probably the same people that are filling up those seats at the games. So I just think, I know he talked to Brett a little bit about coming to Jets, and there's just a lot of stuff that, I don't think New York's seen. A lot of guys that have his talent have a lot of little bit of drama with him, and I understand that. He's unique. He's a different kind of person. He's got a quiet side to him, too, but he's a heck of an athlete. I'm telling you, it's going to be surprising when he starts playing and he's got all the pieces together and you guys start winning win a championship. Then everybody's going to quiet up and be happy.
You sound like you're out of breath, so we'll get rid of you.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, it sounded like he was packing groceries. I don't know. I let him go.
I don't know what he does on the side. It's funny the callers that it's okay to rip Peter and the ones that aren't.
I didn't rip him. You called the guy a complete. You used pejorative terms. I just said the guy sounded like he was out of breath.
So that could be a physical.
No, the guy called before.
Okay.
He's a friend of Aaron Rodgers. He says it every time.
God. Okay.
I'm sorry. I actually catalog these callers, Peter. To you, it just goes away.
Mm-hmm. They just go completely away. Now, listen, he's not asking for Lewis, Cobb, Lazard, and Odell Beckham Jr. to play cards on the plane with him and go drinking after the game and doesn't really want to be a Jet, but if he's going to have to hold his nose and make his money, he wants to be around all of his friends. That's not the reason this is happening. He's bringing these guys in because he thinks it'll help the transition and help the Jets win. So I think this is a good thing. And the caller is addressing the yo-yos out there that are afraid to dare to dream. I think the overwhelming majority of Jet fans can't wait for this to happen.
Now, I will tell you one thing, okay, because I didn't get into it with you yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
listen, I'm all in on Rodgers coming here. I've been in lockstep with you from the very beginning. But just because you don't want him here, it's not a mental dysfunction where you're afraid to dream. Maybe they just felt that they'd rather have a quarterback like Carr that would be here for 6 years rather than have to go through this next year again and the year after that again and all the drama. It's not about being afraid to dream. Maybe they choose to go another route.
Well, I think there are a few that are what you said. I think wanting Carr over Rodgers had logic behind it. But where's the logic now, Michael? We're getting calls from people that rather have Garoppolo.
No, there's no logic.
The yo-yo caller yesterday wanted to ride with Zach Wilson and others. Those people are delusional.
That's insane.
Those people are really afraid. They would rather lose and just be normal like it always is for the last 50 years and never get hurt. I really do believe, Michael, you could disagree. I wonder what Peter would say. I believe the majority, 60%+ of the people that don't want Rodgers are afraid. Afraid of getting hurt. And that makes me sad. Wow. Because that's no way to live.
Let's go to Joe in New Jersey. Joe.
Gentlemen, it's me, the pest. How's everybody?
What's up?
One is, you gentlemen have to agree that Aaron Rodgers now is holding the New York Jets hostage. Because he can, number one.
Right.
Two is Diana Rossini on ESPN earlier stated that there were more players on that wish list than the four mentioned. I'll hang up, let you go, and listen, and keep up the wonderful work. Thank you very much.
Joe. But we're making it out to be like he's a seminal talent, all right? He's one of the best quarterbacks who ever lived. He's played his whole entire career in Green Bay. He's got a little persnickety side to him, and he's a diva. He should ask for everything. He has the Jets right where he wants them. If you ever go into a negotiation in your career, whatever you're doing, and you have the leverage, you ask for things.
Right.
Danny Jones asked for what? $48 million a year. So he got 40. You can ask for whatever you want. If the Jets say enough, then it's enough. And he'll push as far as he could go. I don't blame this guy for asking for everything. He should. He's Aaron Rodgers.
Now, I agree with everything you just said. The only thing I'll say is at a certain point, if the amount of people he wants to bring in becomes borderline outrageous, to me, it should give you some pause about his ability to relationship build when he gets to a new team. Because at a certain point, you demand enough roster spots for your people, you're taking jobs of people who are currently there.
But he doesn't care. He doesn't know those people.
I get it, but his teammates do.
But he's getting his friend's job.
I understand
Randall
that.
Randall Cobb's not going to get another job unless Aaron Rodgers brings him
along. Totally get that. But if as a result of him getting Randall Cobb, that means that X person who's currently in that locker room is gone, that may affect the relationship with Garrett Wilson or Breece Hall or whoever.
That's why they should have pumped the brakes on burning the cheesehead, because they don't even know what they're getting into. They're silly young kids.
Yeah, but that's not okay, fair enough, but that's not who I'm concerned about here. I'm concerned about, as the leader of a new football team, are you a good guy when it comes to showing up to a new locker room and building a relationship? Because no matter how great you are as a player, as the quarterback, as the leader of the football team, there's way more to it than that. There's a reason Daniel Jones gets the support that he gets from his teammates, and it's not just his performance on the field, which is above average but not spectacular. A big part of it is they like Daniel Jones. And as much as Rodgers is one of the greatest of all time, if he comes here and doesn't rub players the right way, it is possible over time they won't want to play for him.
Well, we never know how he does with new relationships. He's never had to do it. And from, you know, just the stuff that we've learned about him in Green Bay, he didn't hang out with the young guys. He's 18 years older than them. He didn't make relationships. He wants to do it on the football field and go do his thing after that. That's just who he is.
And I hear that. But if that also means not only do you not hang out with the players that you're 18 years older than, but you also remove some of the people they do hang out with so you can bring your other 38-year-old friends in, There could be ramifications to that.
Yeah, you don't want to be a player on the Jets where you're just not in the clique. And Garrett Wilson wants to be able to talk to Aaron Rodgers. Does he have to, like, go through, you know, Randall Cobb in order to do that? Like, I got a question. I want to talk to Aaron. No, you talk to me. You don't talk to Aaron.
Yeah, just text me. I'll talk to him.
You don't want that. And I'm not saying that that's going to be it, but I can understand the apprehension that, hey, is this what's happening here? Also, What is the line? Is it what if the Jets, you know, spit on the list and say, screw it, we're not doing it, then I could see him walking away. Is he going to walk away if they get just Cobb and Lewis and don't get Lazard and Odell? Like, is there a list?
Well, that would be unfortunate because the two best players wouldn't be coming.
Well, but my point, Peter, is it all or nothing?
Yeah, and
is it,
and also
make an attempt.
And let me throw this back at you, Michael. Mm-hmm. What's the number at which you point? You go, all right. You know what? I'm good. Now he's asking for too many. Is there a number? If he
no.
wants to bring in nine players,
you know what the number is? Huh. When the Jets say no.
But for you, if you were to find out he wants to bring in nine players,
I'd be fine with it because he's Aaron Rodgers.
But you're talking about replacing 20% of the active roster.
Well, but then the Jets would be nudniks if they did that. So I think the Jets have to, you know, they've got to walk this tightrope where we really want this guy. We want to give him the stuff that he wants, but we can't be held hostage, as our previous caller used that phrase. He can't ask for like 20% of the roster. They've got to draw a line.
But at this point,
they have to draw the line, not me.
But at this point, they basically already are being held hostage by the fact that they have no other option except pursue Lamar Jackson.
Well, but they put themselves in that situation because of their ineptitude. I don't feel bad for them.
I totally hear you. You don't have to feel bad for them, but that is the spot they're in. Don, you can't tell me now that the Packers are in the same situation they were in 2 weeks ago. The situation has changed. The chips have now fallen. Derek Carr is taken. Jimmy G is taken. All these things are disappearing in front of them, and they could be looking at Zach Wilson, who's on their... Oh, by the way, Mike White is gone now. They have Zach Wilson, and then they have the possibility of trading two first-round picks and making a play at a big guaranteed contract for Lamar Jackson.
They could go Jacoby Brissett, or they could go Baker Mayfield. And I don't think that's going to float anybody's boat. That's why we keep coming back to this, guys. That's why he's got him by the short hairs. I want this. Because he knows the Packers aren't in the driver's seat here because he'll walk away. And they still get hit with the cap hit. He's in the driver's seat. I'll go to the Jets if you do everything I want done. Well, where are the Jets going? And we know Woody Johnson said, I want that guy.
I think you do what Joe Douglas has to do is say, I will get everybody on his list until I start to see that I'm doing irreparable damage to my franchise by doing it. If I can get all four of these players in, make it work, I don't have to cut anybody I don't want to cut, yeah, of course, we'll do it. We'll be fine. But if I'm going to have to start to cut players I love, or reworking contract with guys, losing guys, doing damage to my top five defense to make this work, then I think you got to do what's best for your franchise. And even though you want Aaron Rodgers, do you want to do irreparable damage bringing him in here? Now, I don't think Rodgers wants to do that either. You think Rodgers wants to damage the defense he's coming to play for? So I do think this will all work itself out. I'm just kind of curious to see what the line of demarcation is. Is it two of the players, three of the players? Is it just giving the old college try? Or will he not come here unless every one of his demands are met?
Well, if the organization is in full bloom love for him, to use Dave Gettleman's term, you know what they do? They do what Sean Marks did. He got rid of a coach he loved in Kenny Atkinson because those two guys wanted it that way. So sometimes you will do irreparable harm because you so desperately need this guy. Once they let Carr go and signed with New Orleans, they lost any hand they had. They had no leverage, none, because they didn't even go after Garoppolo. They had no interest. So it's either this guy or then make a bid for Lamar Jackson, and you still might not get him because the Ravens could match the offer. He's not really a free agent. He's a free agent in title, but you've still got to work out a deal with the Ravens. And the Ravens could say, you know what? I like the contract they signed him to. We'll match. So then you go to Matthew Stafford. They are in a tough situation where they do have to acquiesce to everything this guy wants. And again, I don't blame him. He's played himself into this position of leverage by his darkness retreat, by his, you know, deliberate nature of making a decision. He now is in the driver's seat. And 3 weeks ago, he wasn't.
I have to tell you, for a guy who, myself, who was spent yesterday screaming at Jets fans to just be happy about this, it's 24 hours later, and I personally already have slightly more pause. And DJ Reed now also tweeting, thanks to Ty Butler for shooting this over to me, DJ Reed also tweeting, whatever 12 wants, go get it.
Yeah. Now, Jordan Schultz is reporting the Jets have signed Alan Lazard to a four-year, $44 million deal, $22 million guaranteed, according to the score.
Really?
So that's one of the demands now gone. They got him.
Well, by the way, if that's real, and we are confirmed, and that is confirmed, that's verified sources, like the score in Canada, whatever that is.
Jordan Schultz is, in fact, the NFL insider from the score. He has $233,000.
If that's a done deal, then
I work for ESPN.
That has to mean Rodgers is a done deal, correct?
I think it's been a done deal. Now they're just dotting the I's and crossing the T's for him.
At what point, how much time passes before the idea that it's a done deal is not a done deal?
I think it's a done deal. I don't think we'll get to that point.
But Don, you hear me? Like, I appreciate the defense of our friend Trey, but at some point, his tweet can become wrong, even if they eventually sign him. Because the idea of done deal, when you publicly say that, means in the coming hours, days, it's a done deal. If it gets done next Monday, it wasn't a done deal when he said it.
No, that's, or maybe it was, and they just held it under wraps.
That doesn't make sense.
Well, no, the way it could be wrong is he signs with the Jets, and we find out that it really came down to the 11th hour. He wasn't sure he was going to come here unless the demands were met. He really was contemplating retirement, but he decided an hour before signing that he was going to do it. That would end up making Trey look wrong.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Happy birthday to our good friend Billy Crystal.
Oh.
What are we looking at age-wise?
I think we're going with 74.
74, Don.
76.
Ooh, both so close. Don, you're over. Peter wins. It's 75.
Ah.
Oh, wow. But you know what? We surrounded it, Peter.
That's right. Except I end up being more flattering because I went younger.
Right. So there's probably a role for you in one of his movies.
He's so great. I recently watched When Harry Met Sally again. God, phenomenal. What a guy. Happy birthday, Billy.
And a big time listener to the show.
Yeah, and Yankee fan.
He went to movies by himself, and I used to kill him for it.
What's movies?
He would go to movies.
Movies.
Let's go to Mark in New Jersey. Mark?
Hi, Mark.
Hey, guys. Big fan of the show. I've been a fan since 1947.
Oh, ooh. Right from the start.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. I got 2 points I want to make. One of them I know Don could probably comment on, being a hockey fan. So I'm a Jets and a Rangers fan. So first off, when I saw Rodgers' list today, I reacted the way most people did, thinking, this guy's crazy. But at the same time, he knows what it takes to win. The Jets never win. I've been watching the Jets since 1986. They never win. He knows what it takes to win. So you know what? Make the guy happy if that's what it takes. I'm not saying, get 9 pieces or so, but, you know, do what you got to do. The other point I want to make is about Mark Messier, what he said before. He did not ever ask for, you know, the Rangers to acquire Oilers. But if you remember after they won the Cup, Don, you might remember this. He asked for Peter Nedved to be traded off the team because he didn't feel he was a winner. He felt the team needed more toughness and it needed more goal scoring. And that's when Neil Smith went and got Luke Robitaille and Ulf Samuelsson. So Messier may not have asked for Oilers to be coming in, but after they won the Cup, he wanted another one, and he tried to do, you know, whatever he could and told Neil Smith what it took. So just wanted to make that point.
Well, that was a speculation, but he made it pretty clear, right, guys, that he said as a captain, he never felt, had any conversation with a general manager about transactions for players. Now, Peter Nedved was not a winner. Peter Nedved came in after they won the Cup. But, you know, there's always been that speculation, Michael. But it sounded like Mark made it pretty clear that he never got involved in any transactions for
Well, he said despite the rumors. So
right, because
obviously they're out there, but he said he never did.
And as far as, you know, winners, this is not him asking for his, like, own private hot tub or to fly a different jet than the Jets are on during the course of road games. I mean, these are all players that he wants to bring in to help him be better, and a better Aaron Rodgers gives them a better chance to win. So I think it's less nozzle and just, hey, I want to be comfortable, and if I'm comfortable, we got a better chance to win. Do you think he's breaking chops? I don't think he's breaking chops.
I'm usually the one that would come down on the other side. I have no problem with him asking for whatever he wants.
No, I get it. But, Michael, do you think he's breaking chops? Like, really doesn't want to go there. He's just playing
games.
No,
I think he wants everything to be as good as it could be for him.
Well, and isn't that good news for Jet fans?
Yeah,
Jet fans, they look at this and go, oh, my God, he's being a nozzle. No, look at it as, hey, this is a guy that he wants to win here. He wants to be successful. This is not just going to be him extending his career. He wants to come here and he wants to win.
Let's go to, I wonder if it's the same guy, Vinny in Staten Island. Vinny.
It's the same guy, Mike. How are you?
I'm good,
hey, Vinny.
How you doing?
All right, guys. Michael, you're a gentleman. Guys, I'm sorry for yelling loud yesterday, but I want to make 3 points if you want to hear me out.
Okay,
of course. Sure.
Michael, you made a good point before saying how Joe Douglas created a great roster. Their roster is so much better than the Giants' roster. Now, to me, you got a Giants roster that was terrible. You got Daniel Jones, who was booed out of Giants Stadium more than Zach Wilson. But Brian Daboll found a way to use his strengths and make it work. So what I got to ask is, what does that say about Robert Saleh?
Saleh.
Well.
Yeah, what is Saleh?
Well,
what does Saleh. That say about his coaching abilities? When he
he got rid of the offensive coordinator, so, I mean, it really was the job of LaFleur.
But he brought the LaFleur in. That was his process, trust the process. And just another point is, two more points. Another point is, on your show, Saleh had said how Elijah Moore and Denzel Mims came on strong at the end of the year. So now you're giving them, these guys are coming on strong. And you're going to bring in an old Randall Cobb and an old Mercedes, I don't know his last name.
Lewis.
And you're going to bring in Odell Beckham, who's just a train wreck. This says a lot about this guy, and it also says a lot about how these guys just tweet constantly. Zach Wilson's still on the team, and you're throwing him under the bus. That's terrible. Mark Messier would never do that.
But you still think Zach Wilson has a future?
Listen, he's a backup right now. He's got talent. And there's just look what Brian Daboll did for Daniel Jones. Look what Doug Peterson did for Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence was terrible under Urban Meyer. Daniel Jones was, people wanted him out so bad.
But not Brian as, Daboll well, one, thing his, I would, one thing I would disagree with you, Vinny, they didn't want Daniel Jones out the way the Jet fans booed Zach Wilson. It wasn't that close.
I was at Giants Stadium. People, the media, everybody was all turnover machine. This guy.
Well, he was
stinks.
Though.
I know, what I'm saying is.
You make a good point about Saleh. Is that we don't know. I honestly like him. I think he's a good coach, but the jury I think is still very much out. And yeah, we're going to see. That's why I think his job's going to be on the line this year. Whoever his quarterback is going to be, they better make the playoffs, otherwise he's gone. But I don't think Joe Douglas is going to be letting, you know, certain wide receivers go to make these guys work. I think he'll, it might take some playing time away, but I don't think Joe Douglas is going to cut off his nose to spite his face either. But, so let's see who he ends up signing here. But is, you know, before we start criticizing Joe Douglas on where Mims is or Moore is, let's find out who gets signed and who doesn't.
But what, you know, a point that Vinny brings up, okay? They put themselves in this situation.
Right.
They have to give in to everything. They did it. First of all, they drafted a guy who clearly couldn't play when they wanted him to play. And second of all, they mishandled him. Now, you can say all you want about Greg Knapp and the unfortunate death. I find that hard to believe that he would have been the difference in whether or not this guy could play quarterback. He was a great quarterback whisperer, but, I mean, was Zach Wilson that fragile? So I'm not quite sure what they have in Wilson. But the fact that, A, they drafted him, and, B, they could not do anything with him is on them. And the reason why you give in and you acquiesce to every demand that Rodgers has, and I think you'd both agree with me, they are coaching and GMing for their job this year.
Yes, of course.
So they can't risk going with Zach Wilson again.
No.
They can't.
And Michael, as much as I think Joe Douglas has done a terrific job as general manager of this team, and he might save himself another year because of it, the damaging thing is screwing up on Zach Wilson. Because you're not doing this for an edge pass rusher or a cornerback or a wide receiver. You're dancing this dance because of the quarterback and how important it is. And that was a huge whiff. Joe Douglas has gone 4 for 5. But right now, that fifth at bat's a strikeout looking with the bases loaded.
In the ninth inning of the World Series.
Yeah. Right, exactly. The 4 home runs were nice, but when we needed you, man, you struck out looking with your bat on your shoulder, and that's what happens when you whiff on a quarterback. And this is the dance you have to do when it happens.
Let's go to Bruce in Long Island. Bruce.
Hey.
Hey.
I've been a Jet fan since 1965, and I think we finally have a quarterback where they just never gave him a chance. They had a rookie offensive coordinator that did not know what he was doing, and maybe with a new offensive coordinator they should give Zach Wilson a chance.
But Bruce, how could you say they didn't give him a chance? He started from the beginning. No. Listen, that just doesn't make sense. They didn't give him a chance.
Somebody would come and take me away.
Why wouldn't they want this guy to succeed? Their whole legacy rests on this guy. They didn't give him a chance.
This is the first time on this show, Michael.
You want to cry?
I'm almost ready to cry.
Wow. Could this be left? We've gotten a lot of calls like this. Could this partially be the problem of them never giving any information about what the real issues are with him? So everyone believes it's like a work?
I just think that people are just painfully stupid.
In fairness, did
they screw up Zach Wilson? Probably. Same way they screwed up Sam Darnold. The same way they screw up quarterbacks all the time.
You can't say they didn't give him a chance.
But to say that they didn't give him a chance and to actually sit here on the cusp of bringing in one of the greatest quarterbacks that we have ever seen, actually thinking about bringing Zach Wilson back to work with Nathaniel Hackett as a thought, I'm surprised you had the brain power to dial after coming up with that kind of idiotic thought in your brain. And like True Romance in the elevator, I was hoping somebody would take me away. I didn't want to be a part of that segment. I wanted to cry, Michael. I wanted to cry for the stupid.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mike Tannenbaum, and he joins us now. Mike, we'll dispense with the hellos and goodbyes and all that and just go, what would you do if you were Joe Douglas? I mean, would you just give in to every demand right now?
Yeah, well, good to be with you guys. You know, the Alan Lazard signing is certainly an encouraging step for, you know, the Jet perspective, but I would create a sense of urgency. Candidly, I would have created one by now just from a standpoint of, you know, when you go out to see him, you could actually hire, you know, a neutral physician out there and actually do the physical while you're out in California. You could obviously get a deal done, you know, with him and his agent. You could get a deal done with the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, every day that goes by, you know, be it Jimmy Garoppolo, Derek Carr, look, he's an all-time great, and you want to give him the benefit of the doubt. But, you know, at some point you have to say, hey, like, are we in or out? Like, there's nothing else, you know, that you need to know that you don't know, that you got to make a decision.
Well, I guess it comes down to this. All right, you have a decision. I want to play for you, but I want Odell Beckham. I want Lazard. I want Cobb. I want Lewis. How deep on that list do you go? Is it all of them? Some of them? Is it negotiable? Well, how do the Jets handle filling his wish list?
Yeah, that's a fine line, you know, Don, because, look, you want them. We've all been in those recruiting modes. Like, I did that for years. You try and bend over backwards to get somebody you think's a real differentiator. But, you know, look, Joe Douglas is the GM, not Aaron Rodgers, so it's a fine line. And I think, you know, at some point you have to say, look, we believe in Elijah Moore. We believe in Garrett Wilson. And, you know, you're going to learn to love those guys and develop a chemistry with them. And we'll look to improve the team. We'll do it within reason. But, you know, we're asking you to play quarterback here, and we think it's a great opportunity for you.
But doesn't he have them where it hurts right now? They have no reasonable place to go, Mike. So he can just squeeze and say, cough. I mean, don't they have to do whatever he wants?
Yeah, Mike, he has immense leverage. Let's not get away from that. You know, they don't have other options. So, now, look, with that said, you know, could they bring in Lamar Jackson after 4 o'clock tomorrow? Of course they can. Could they call the Rams on Matt Stafford or Tennessee on Ryan Tannehill? Absolutely. But, you know, they're taking a big swing here, and hopefully it works out for them. But, yes, he has immense leverage. And his, by the way, he could just walk. You know, he could just say, look, I'm done. You know, I made my money. I've won my championship, and I'm good. So, yeah, he is definitely, you know, in the driver's seat here without question.
If you wanted to make it work, Mike, and I don't know how much you know about all the salary cap implications, but can you bring in the 4 players that I mentioned and not do irreparable damage to your cap or your current roster?
I think that'd be a heavy lift. And by the way, like, it's funny. I've been around a lot of aging quarterbacks. Ironically, you know, Brett Favre, worked with Dan Marino in Miami, we have Vinny Testaverde. And when you talk to quarterbacks in the later part of their years of their career, it's not their arm, it's their legs. And I'd be much more concerned about the offensive line than anything else. And, you know, got a couple guys that were hurt last year, and Vera Tucker and obviously Becton. So I would really be focused protecting Aaron Rodgers much more so who he's throwing it to. And I get it. There's a relationship with Lazard and Cobb. But, yeah, there is certainly a limit here. And we got some other things we got to get done.
Now that you see the way things have played out, all right, so Carr goes and signs with New Orleans. It didn't seem like that had any interest in Garoppolo. Do you think it's kind of a heavy lift to get into business with this guy because there's so much drama and you're going to go through the same thing next year?
Yeah, no, you're paying out Aaron Rodgers' tax. You know, make no mistake about it. And, you know, candidly, you know, a decade ago, we made the same calculus with Brett Favre. You know, we had a good quarterback in Chad Pennington, went to the playoffs a number of times with Chad, but, you know, we were chasing a championship and we took a swing with Brett, and obviously he got hurt and, you know, the rest was history. But when you, you know, try to step up in stature with these guys, you know, Tom Brady came down with a whole bushel of players that turned out to help him win a championship in Tampa. That's sort of like the cost of doing business.
Now, I'm curious, did Favre ask you to get anybody for him, bring anybody on the team for him?
You know, yes and no. I mean, we had talked about a couple guys, but again, we signed him in August, so it's you know, there are some parallels, but obviously, you know, we're on the precipice of free agency starting tomorrow, so it's a little bit different. But in our recruiting process with Brett, you know, we certainly sold him on the quality of the people we had, and the Lavernius Coles of the world, and you know, a great offensive line and, you know, how we felt like we were putting him in a position to be successful. And he didn't necessarily have to worry about, you know, who else was there. We just needed him to get in town, get in the building, and start getting to know his teammates.
All right, if all this works out, Rodgers comes, they just signed Lazard, fill a couple of other pieces. Are there going to be difficult decisions? Are they going to have to let some guys that they don't want to let go go? Can they keep everybody together?
Yeah, I mean, well, that's where it gets interesting because now you're getting into things like, you know, Quinnen Williams' extension, which is going to be massive. And by the way, those are great problems to have, guys. Like, you want to have problems of, like, how do we pay our young emerging players? So you can't keep them all. And if you're paying Aaron Rodgers $60 million a year, it's going to come from somewhere. So their play has some difficult decisions. But again, like, to me, it really starts with, you know, can we protect them? You know, we got to remember, Aaron Rodgers didn't play great last year, and part of it was he's 40. You know, David Bakhtiari, their very talented tackle, you know, was hurt for a lot of the season. So to me, like, if I'm the Jets, I got to learn about how do I put this guy in the best position possible. And again, to me, it starts up front.
So I wanted to get your take on the Waller deal for the Giants. Did you like that?
Well, yes and no. He's a really talented player. He's clearly their best receiver, Mike. I think he's playing 20 games over 2 years. He's right on the wrong side of 30. And typically those guys don't get healthier and durable. So that would be a concern. You know, the irony is it was for the Kadarius Toney pick that, you know, they acquired. And they gave up on a guy that wasn't reliable. Now, Darren Wall is not reliable, not because he's not, you know, it's the injuries. It's different, but you know, there is some irony there to me, but he is clearly their best receiver. He is a difference maker. He's dominant in the red zone. My only concern is, you know, over 30 and been injured, you know, last couple of years.
If back to Rodgers for a second, Mike, if the entire thing fell apart at this point, and for some reason they got it to an impasse, it couldn't happen. With the way all the chips have fallen, where would you go if you were the Jets?
Probably the Lamar Jackson, you bring him in for a visit, start there. You know, now look, you know, as it's been widely reported, you know, he's looking for, you know, over $200 million in fully guaranteed money. That would be a concern. He's had durability issues. I would call the Rams on Stafford. I think the Rams situation is a little weird to me. You know, on the one hand, they're trading guys like Jalen Ramsey and cutting Bobby Wagner. So I don't know why, you know, guys like Stafford wouldn't be available. Tannehill would certainly be a guy I would look into. Look, none of them are clear, you know, clearly not where the stature of Aaron Rodgers is. But, like, to me, at some point here, like, if you're in, you're in, great. If you're not, we got to move on.
Gut feeling in 10 seconds, is he a Jet or not? Because I can't see any scenario where he's not a Jet.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, it's all leading that way. But, you know, the skeptic in me is, you know, until the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted, T's crossed and I's dotted, you know, I want to see him in the building.
Good stuff, Mike. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.